Afternoon. When thinking about something that talk about tonight in the way of an invitation or something that might help someone build their faith, I always think of something that helps myself. And one thing that always helps me is to think of evidences of God or evidences of Jesus Christ. Evidence come in many different ways. Most of the time, whenever we're talking about evidences, we always think about things that of a physical nature, things that we see about us. We always think about the earth. We think about things that we see that have been created. We think about our eyesight. We think about, you know, miraculous things like that. But the evidence I want to talk about tonight is a little bit different. And tonight's evidence is one that we find in the Bible. As a Christian, our faith is based and it's centered around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we know that something as miraculous as someone being dead in the grave for 3 days and then being raised again and walk among the apostles and other witnesses, then we can have faith to know that God can do the same thing for us. And one of the evidences of that resurrection is something that at least I overlook a lot, and it was just something that I come across when I was studying the subject. And that's the evidences of the devotion of the disciples. Think about the devotion of the disciples that were living in the times of at the time that the resurrection happened. The disciples, I mean, like the apostles and many others that were following Christ. And think about how their lives were transformed and when they witnessed this amazing event or they heard about this amazing event. And we think, and you know, even when I was studying on this, I read that even an Orthodox Jew, I won't try to pronounce his name, but anyway, he was a chairman of the Applied Linguistics, the Department of Israel. Some university, I can't say that name either, but anyway, it says, if the disciples were totally disappointed and on the verge of desperate flight because of the very real reason of the crucifixion, it took another very real reason in order to transform them from a band of disheartened and dejected Jews into the most self-confident missionary society in the world history. So this prominent Jewish rabbi or Jewish scholar, he concluded that possibly the bodily resurrection was the reason for this. Now, this is a person who didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. He really didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected, I'm sure. But he said, if all of these disciples believed such a thing and they had such a great transformation, that they surely did believe that the bodily resurrection of Jesus had actually happened. When we think about, you know, the apostles and their great transformation, I know everybody's mind goes to the same one, and we think about the conversion and the transformation of Saul of Tarsus. And while Jesus was living on the earth and going about and preaching and performing miracles, Saul of Tarsus was doing what? He was persecuting Christians. We're reading Galatians 1, starting in verse 13, about Paul's former life and his zealousness towards Judaism. Starting in verse 3, it says, "For you have heard my previous ways of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God, and I tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism way beyond many of my own age among my people. I was extremely zealous for the tradition of my fathers." From that we learn that, from Paul's own words, that he was intensely persecuting the church. He was trying to stop this Christianity thing that was going on in his time. Also, he says that he was well advanced in Judaism, and he was well beyond people that it was his own age and started at the same time that he did. And he was an advanced student of Judaism. And he was also very devout, very zealous in his beliefs. Also learn in Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 9, that Saul had a very good conscience towards what he was doing. In other words, he believed what he was doing. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. It says, "I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that it was just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and they were put to death, and I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to be blasphemous, or I tried to force them into blasphemy. And I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. You know, even though his prejudice towards Jesus' teachings, and he was a prominent Pharisee and fierce opposition of Jesus Christ in the church, the Apostle Paul became one of the most influential Christians that the world's ever known. How did we think about this, and we say, how in the world did that happen? You know, I know we know the story about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, but we think about, he went from killing people or consenting to people's death to actually trying to convert people. And so, you know, how could this have really happened? Did Paul actually see Jesus on the road to Damascus? Could he have had ulterior motives? Think about some of the ulterior motives. Could he have been motivated by wealth? Don't believe that could happen because he had a lot of wealth when he was with the Jews, when he was promoting Judaism. In fact, he says that he left his wealth for poverty to follow Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 11, it says, "This very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We're homeless. We work hard with our own hands, and we are cursed. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. And we are slandered, we answered kindly." So we know that, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't have an ulterior motive of that of wealth or, you know, fame or anything else, that because he was persecuted pretty harshly from both sides, from his old friends and his new friends. Could he have been doing it because of fame? Well, it doesn't seem like that would be likely either, because he had a lot of fame with the Jews. If you remember that Paul was even viewed as being foolish by the Christians. A lot of times he was accused of being weak, didn't have good speech, those kind of things. So it wasn't that he was getting a lot of notoriety and a lot of fame. Some have even accused Paul of being mad. We think about the time that the Festus governor thought that all of his learning had drove him crazy. He said, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense and he said, "Are you out of your mind, Paul?" he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." But as we read all the writings of Paul, we can clearly see that the Apostle Paul was a very smart person. He wasn't mad or crazy or anything. And then we discussed this a little bit earlier. You know, was Paul feeling guilty because of what he had done to the Christians at an earlier time? Was he, you know, trying to make up for what he had done in the past? We see that with people today. We see that with, you know, with even with politicians and things. They try to make up for some of their past mistakes by going exactly the opposite way. But the Apostle Paul didn't seem to be that way, you know, because he did everything that he did in persecuting Christians. He believed that he was helping God. He believed he did everything with a good conscience. He felt like he was opposing someone who was not of God. And so, you know, what other can we conclude on this great turnaround of one of the most zealous and Jews that persecuted Christians, the one that consented to their death, and consented to their death in a lot of brutal ways. And we think about stoning of people and things like that, and crucifixions. That was the Apostle Paul, or that was the Saul of Tarsus. The only thing that we really can think that would really turn somebody, if we believe these historical events that happened, would be exactly what he said, is that he saw Jesus of Nazareth. He saw him on the road to Damascus. And that, think about this, that Paul was willing to forego wealth, he's willing to forego fame, forego power, he was willing to suffer from poverty, he was willing to be shamed, you know, he had great notoriety when he was a Jew. Now the Jews don't like him, and a lot of the Christians don't like him either, because they were scared of him to start off with, I guess. And then a lot of times they just didn't think that he was very well spoken. And so, you know, and then also the Apostle Paul was persecuted quite often. You know, he was beaten several times. And, you know, thinking about that, just knowing the facts of the Apostle Paul, it really should help us with our fortitude and should help us with our faith. And knowing those kind of things really should help an unbeliever and to understand that the resurrection was real. It was something that really did happen. And, you know, if we understand, like we talked about at the beginning of the lesson, if we understand that the resurrection is real, because the resurrection is the thing that's in the center of a Christian's life. The resurrection is something that we understand that if God is able to raise someone from the dead, He's going to raise us from the dead also. And so, thinking about that, just through such evidences as the conversion of Saul, God was borne witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so, thinking about that, have you actually acted on the evidence of this resurrection? Upon, you know, thinking about what Casey talks about a lot of times in his class, I'm not sure, I can't remember which class, it might be a class G8's been in, but it might not be a lesson, but it was one of the ones that hit. But he talks about, talking about faith that, you know, there's a type of faith where you say, yeah, I believe, but then there's also a type of faith where you say, I have action, I'm going to carry this out with action. I actually believe enough to carry out this action. And so that's what I'm asking tonight. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And if you do, have you actually responded to that belief? If you have the need to obey the gospel, then why don't you come now as we stand and sing the song?